Back in about 2002 or 2003, up at a place in North Yorkshire called Castle Howard. Maybe some of you have been there. It's a very well-known country mansion. It's open now to the public. And a beautiful place where some of you who are maybe my age or older, you can remember what was called Brideshead Revisited on television a very long time ago. And that is where they filmed it, up around there. Beautiful part of the world. Well, about 2002 or 2003, up around that part of the world, you'll know that there is, or I'm saying to you that there is a maze. There's a maze made out of hedges. And at that time, 2002 or 2003, everybody about there could hear screams as Colin Tinsley chased my older boys around the maze. And if you're ever there, you think of that. Colin Tinsley was here chasing the older salt boys around when they weren't so old, around the maze. But you know, close to that maze, there was, attached to the big house, there was an enclosed garden. And while I wasn't running round the maze, I remember noticing with the enclosed garden that there were some beautiful shrubs or plants, whatever they are called, they were inside the garden. But they weren't confined to the garden, because some of them over the years had crept up over the top of the wall and right down the other side, and it's as though they were glued to it. They were there for all of us to see. And the flowers that bloomed on those branches were there to see. So that which had its rightful place within the confines of the wall was now outside the wall as well. No doubt it gave pleasure to those who were allowed inside the wall. We weren't. But we also benefited from it, because the branches had gone over the wall. And you know, the Holy Spirit here describes some details concerning Joseph in verse 22 of Genesis 49. It says, Joseph is a fruitful bough, and a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. His branches run over the wall. And I've mentioned to you just now how those outside the wall at Castle Howard in North Yorkshire benefit from the fact that the branches have gone over the wall. And spiritually speaking, there are any number of people out there who can benefit from your life as a Christian and mine when the branches go over the wall. You can read there in the Song of Solomon, where the church, that is those who are saved, make up the church on earth, are referred to as a garden. And the thought there of the church, the prayer is, it says, come thou north wind, petitioning God that he would come. And it says, and to blow upon my garden. Why? In order that the perfume, and many of them are enumerated there, catalogued for us in Song of Solomon, that the fragrance might go over the garden wall, because it was a garden enclosed. God's people have a special place. It's in the hand of the Lord, and you're secure there. But there's so many outside who can greatly benefit from your life and mine when the fragrance goes over the wall. Your effort is blessed of the Holy Spirit, and your influence is used by God. And that, no doubt, was the case many times regarding the man that we've read about this morning, Joseph. And in that way, he was a fruitful bough. But you know, there were other ways in his life where the branches needed to go over the wall. Areas where Joseph needed to be able to progress, and yet because he seemed to be confined, just as if he was inside the garden wall. He needed to progress. And even though he seemed to be confined, he did progress. And therefore, forever it's written down here, Joseph is a fruitful vine whose branches ran over the wall. And in his own life, there was that running over the wall of indifference. Who would want to have the experiences of Joseph in his early days? As a young boy, indifference to his innocency and to his need and to his cries. Speaking here of his brothers, of course. And to the love that he longed for from them and didn't receive it. As far as they were concerned, and I'm sure most of you know something of the background here, there was indifference to so many things that were associated with him. And then as the years went by, there were other times in his life when he sought in a very gracious way to show that he was honorable and to fight his own corner in the circumstances he was in the best he could at that particular time, and people were indifferent to him. It was a wall. And he wanted to go over the wall, and he wanted to have an influence even among those who were indifferent. And folks, there's a wall that's still there today. And you can think of various areas in your own individual private life. And there's indifference to what you are. Maybe it's somebody you love dearly. And there's great indifference. Indifference to your message. Maybe there's indifference among some of your work colleagues to principles that mean a whole lot to you, but not to them. Maybe there's indifference to your whole outlook on life, the way you see things. Maybe the way that you see this day, the Sabbath day. Someone prayed in the prayer meeting there, "This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." He's made every day, of course, but this is a special day. And you rejoice in it. But not everybody does. And there's that wall of indifference. And then we'll narrow it down a little bit to indifference to things that are private to you. And you don't, nobody else knows. And you feel almost like a fish out of water. You feel like Joseph was made to feel as out on a limb or a bit strange. Let me assure you, you're not strange. The wall of indifference, but also the wall of discomfort. Joseph had to overcome that as well. He was in the pit. Then he was sold. And then there are those times when it seemed to him, and we remember here we're dealing with a man, not a God. He's not God. When he was in the prison, he wasn't happy there. And I wouldn't have been happy there either. And he needed discomfort there. And there's still the wall of discomfort for God's people. Now, sometimes it comes through a decline in health. Sometimes it comes through something that someone somewhere has said to you. It's brought discomfort to your heart. Sometimes we can do that inadvertently, and if I've ever done it, I'm sorry for that. But many a time, it's not done inadvertently. And out there is that which brings discomfort to you. And you've been in conversations with people, and things have seemed to be going well, and then they've let out a few words, and you have been very uncomfortable with that. Because the world has fallen, and broken and ripening for God's judgment, this discomfort is always going to be there or thereabouts, wherever we are. It's a wall. And you want to still have an influence beyond that. And you want, like Jabez prayed long ago, he said that the Lord would enlarge his coast. He wasn't being selfish. But rather, like Joseph here, he wanted his branches to run over the wall. The wall of indifference, the wall of discontent, the wall of disappointment. You don't have to look too far back to think of that. You and I can remember when we were little boys and girls what disappointment felt like. And then up in our teenage years, we can remember it too. And then sometimes we had thoughts regarding what material things would do for us. And while some can bring comfort to us, they never really lived up to what we thought they would do. And we were disappointed. There's a person saying to me just the other day that one of their friends, who's a young Christian fella, he was talking to a businessman who is really, really wealthy, just the other day here in Northern Ireland. Really wealthy, and a lot of people know that, and he doesn't seem to hide it. But talking to a young fellow who hardly knows, he really opened up and he said, you know, with all of this, he said words to the effect, my life's empty. My life's empty. Maybe put the young fellow on the back foot a bit, but that was the feeling of his heart. He was feeling disappointed with all that he had, and you'll feel it too, Christian. Disappointment is something that we all know about. I'll just mention a couple of other things very, very briefly. What about the wall of temptation? We're not foolish enough to say that temptation isn't real. It's a wall that you want to get over. You don't want to wallow in it. Or should I say wallow in yielding to it time after time after time. Someone said that it is human to fail. But it is devilish to wallow in your failure. But it's angelic to rise out of it. Temptation. Maybe someday you were walking along and going about your businesses every other time, and before you knew, you found yourself in a situation where there was a very real temptation confronting you. Something you never thought of being able to handle before. You want to conquer it. And you don't want to yield to it. And you want your influence to go on. You want the branches to go out over the wall. You want to be that fruitful vine. All these walls of indifference and discomfort and disappointment and temptation. And here's another one. And it's one that the devil will capitalize upon. It is the wall of loneliness. Surprisingly many people you talk to who seem to have a big social circle, and they're very, very lonely. Very lonely. It's not without reason that we have it in the Bible that the Lord Jesus is the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Brothers, generally speaking, are friendly enough, close enough. Mine phoned me yesterday. He usually texts me, wants me to do something hard. You know, work. No, he did. He wanted me to go and help him a little bit with some stones, lifting them stones. And brothers, generally speaking, are close, but a brother can fail you. And therefore, the Holy Spirit has it in the Bible, you know, that the Lord Jesus is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And in your time of loneliness, he's there. These are all walls that you want to climb over. There's 100 others. But it says here, and this really is the secret of him being able, his branches to being able to go over all the walls, and his influence being very real and used and greatly effective in changing the lives of so many people. Here's the secret. It says there that Joseph is a fruitful bough by a well. By a well. The word well Hebrew is the word makar, which is translated well three times. Now, there are other words that are translated well, but one that's translated well is makar, and it is in the three times it is used, every single time, that word well is referring to the Lord. It's referring to the Lord. The word makar, it actually not only refers to the Lord, and we'll see it a little bit later on, but it refers to the thought of an original fountain. Where is the water purest? At the spring. Well, that's the meaning it carries as well. Or the source. Or the original fountain. And that was the secret of Joseph's branches going over the wall. I want you to notice then what I simply entitled Influence Beyond the Wall. Influence Beyond the Wall. Notice some things here with me, and I know that we're pretty limited for time, but we'll see what we can do. It was this well that gave Joseph life. Joseph, like every other ordinary man, every man apart from Christ, was born into this world a sinner, and a sinner who needed to be saved. He was spiritually dead, but his actual conversion, we're not given details about it, but we know this. He's mentioned in Hebrews 11, etc., etc. But he did come and trust the Lord. In the first verse, it says there of Zechariah chapter 13, it says, in that day there shall be a fountain opened up in the house of David for the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. And I have no doubt at all that Joseph came to this fountain. And I wonder in that day, is it not surely looking to Calvary? And there's a time in Joseph's experience when he looked forward to that day. Well, in that chapter 13 and verse 1 of Zechariah, the word fountain there is the same word makar that we read earlier on translated well. It's referring to the Lord. Remember Abram? It says concerning him that over there in John's Gospel 8, whenever Abraham was just about to offer his son Isaac as instructed by the Lord, and then the Lord said not to do it, and he provided the ram in the bush. It says there in verse 56 of John 8, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. There's the day again. To see my day, and he saw it and was glad. You see, all of the types way back then and the symbols and the symbolic teaching of the word, it all pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jeremiah is referred to the fountain of living water. And of course, the New Testament ties in perfectly with the Old Testament in John chapter 7 and verse 37. It says, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believeth in me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. That is a promise to all of those who will come. In other words, it's an advertisement for new life, and it's for the life that Joseph inevitably had. I read yesterday of some young fella involved here. He's a footballer. And he was totally addicted to gambling. And that gambling led to him becoming a compulsive liar, which he said he was. Admitted all that. And lying to his parents who loved him. Just become an expert at getting his way and getting them to give him more money even than he earned, and he was constantly gambling. But then I was very encouraged to read in that piece about how many times in that piece he talked about being saved and about others being saved and how it made a difference when he got saved. And it was very refreshing, actually, in this interview that he had been doing, to see how many times he mentioned the fact that the Lord had saved him and saved his family, and how the Lord had answered for him. What was it brought the change about in that young man? The Lord Jesus, the fountain of living water, brought to him life. Just the same as the Lord Jesus, the fountain of living water, brought life to Joseph. William Cowper was an English poet and a hymn writer, and without taking time this morning to go through the details of his life, he lived a very sad and lonely and unhappy life, and then someone got him a Bible, he read it, and the Lord spoke to his heart, and then he wrote a hymn based on the verse I read with you earlier on, Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 1, and some of the words of the hymn are these: "There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's vein, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains." And perhaps the writer of the hymn, "I looked to Jesus and I drank of that life-giving stream," had similar thoughts in mind as they recalled that time when they were brought in a very real way, brought from absolute deadness in sin into new life as it was found in Christ alone. Remember what we're saying here about the well. The well was the secret to all of Joseph's life and all that he was able to do. And the word well there, as we said, refers to the one who he looked to for salvation. And I think it's probably appropriate at this time to ask you, as you look into your heart, have you really been brought out of death into life? Whatever age you are, has there been that experience of the new birth? The young girl that was here on Tuesday night at the prayer meeting, Christina Logan, who's working now among children, very enthusiastic about it. She was saying, and it seems that more and more people are saying, that the situation now is such that you have to go right back to ABC in evangelism, because there is so much confusion. I'm thinking of a man now, I'm not going to name him, but I think he is convicted about his sin, and he's certainly not opposed to the preaching of the gospel, but he just cannot see his need. And maybe you're like that. I don't know. But for those of us who are Christians today, we can look back and say that there's a possibility of our branches going over the wall, and all these walls of indifference and disappointment and temptation and all these things, that we feel that we're confined and there's no way forward here. And we know that we're limited as human beings, but in our hearts we feel, well, maybe the Lord would allow us to do more than that, and allow the branches to go over the wall, that we might be a fruitful vine, like Joseph. Well, the well is the secret. If you and I have come to Christ, who is that well? But there's not only the fact here that it was the well that gave life to Joseph, but it was the well that gave aid to Joseph in his tender years. He's still just a youth and seemed to be very happy around the farm. It wasn't very long before he discovered that he needed help. He needed help. He needed assistance because of the circumstances there, when he'd, in a naive way, gone away to Dothan to look for the boys. And the Lord had to come along and to help him. You know, over there, I'm speaking to you now in Psalm 36. You may say, well, I've been brought from death to life, that's for sure. And I know that I am the Lord's. I trusting in him. He has dealt with the sin question in my life, but I want the branches to go over the wall. Maybe you're actually saying to yourself, I'm tired of the confines of just feeling that I'm getting nowhere. I want to progress, and I don't want to be defeated by all these thoughts of discouragement and thoughts of loneliness and thoughts of temptation and all these things that seem to stunt your progress. Well, we're saying here that aid is available. It says there in the Psalm number 36, it says in verse 8, they shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. I just want to say that at this time, the fat here was regarded to as the best part of the animal, and therefore became synonymous with that which was prime, what you would call the prime part of the beast, or the best. So it says, they shall be abundantly satisfied with the best of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of pleasures. Just want to say some things there. Do you see that it says pleasures? It does not mean sinful pleasures. It means lap up. That's what it means. And the word river there is a river that actually means torrent. Drink of the torrent of that which they can lap up. It says in verse 9, for with thee is the fountain of life. That's the word makar again. The fountain of life. It's referring to the Lord. Doesn't it say there, thou shalt be abundantly satisfied with the best, the prime of thy house, the very best that God can give. He's able to give it to you and I, and therefore we don't have to live in defeat. We don't have to be confined within the wall. We're secure within the wall. But we want the branches to go out over the wall. Isn't it true that Joseph needed this aid so much when he was in the pit? Remember Potiphar's house? He needed it there too. And in the palace, he needed this aid. But you know, he was not only by a wall, he was by a reliable, or by a well, he was by a reliable well. If I can just refer back to one of the things we mentioned earlier on, I want to say this clearly to us all tonight. Temptation will cut you down in your tracks. It'll cut you down in your tracks if we yield to it. And we become defeated by it. And it puts us in a situation where we don't think that there's any way forward. But God has given to us in Christ a well. And you and I, as we turn to his word, we are looking to that well. That is why you read the Bible, because you want to see Christ. And you want to see what he can do for you today. And maybe you had a way of reading the Bible, where you're reading through a particular book, or doing a character study, whatever way you do it. And today you are discouraged. Or let's broaden it out beyond the congregation. A Christian somewhere today, discouraged and still feeling disappointed or lonely, still really struggling with some temptation or other. And the Lord had that word from him yesterday, but they missed it because they didn't read it. Skipped it. Too busy? Or just didn't get around to it? Brethren and sisters, that is the importance of being in God's word continually, that we might be abundantly satisfied with the very best that he has to offer, and that we might lap up the river from the river, which is indeed Christ. He is the fountain of life. And when you're there, temptations won't have any hold over you. Be because you'll be abundantly satisfied with Christ. How often Joseph needed the aid of the well. How often you need it, and so do I. I have one other thought here. Not only did the well give life to Joseph and give aid to Joseph, but it was the well that set Joseph apart. If he had not been constantly supplied, can I mention again the branches up there at Castle Hard in Yorkshire? As they come out over the wall, lots of them. And all the nice flowers on them, obviously, those branches are being well supplied. And that hedge that I told you that Mr. Tinsley was chasing arbors around, it wasn't that attractive. It did the job of making a maze. But it wasn't as attractive as the branches that come over the wall with the flowers on them. And there's one thing about Joseph's life. He had an attractive life because the well that supplied him set him apart. Over there in Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 13 says, O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain. That's the same word again, Makar. The fountain of living waters. And we've been to what he can supply for you and for me. Why did Joseph continue to live an attractive life? In the pit and in the palace and in Potiphar's house and everywhere else he was. Because of the well. And I'm sure you wish the same for everyone here and for even for me. We really wish you much prosperity and happiness. But remember this. In the circumstances where there is discouragement or disappointment or loneliness or temptation and all of these things come your way, it'd be very, very easy to become unattractive. Like that branches that come over, those branches that come over the wall up at Castle Hard, if there had been nothing supplying those branches, they would have dried up and the flowers would have fell off, and that would have been the end of it. The branch would just have been something that was unattractive. God set Joseph apart. You know something? And I've read this many, many times, I'm sure you have. He actually set you apart. And while you can maybe be promoted in your work, or you can do very well individually in business, or you may be content just where you are, and that's absolutely fine. But you have a higher calling. You have a higher calling than even the business people around you. And it's found there in the Psalm number 4. It says, but know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. Do you ever think of that? Maybe all that the world has to offer by way of material things, maybe it doesn't mean a whole lot. You like a bit of comfort and that's it. You're not worried. And you're not bothered. And here's why. It's because the Lord has set him that is apart, him that is godly, for himself. For himself. Only one life will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. I would just want to say that this well doesn't dry up. It's perennial. We read about it in Psalm 46, we've looked at it before there, where it says, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, going out to all the different areas of Christian life, God's work. On that occasion, referring to the Holy Spirit, making glad. When your branches are going over the wall, you're glad. And while we don't ignore the reality of possible loneliness, and we know about the reality of temptation and disappointment and all that, our branches can still go over the wall, and we can still know that gladness in our heart. Why? Because the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. And how we need constantly, men and women, to be at the well, drinking at the well, drinking at the fountainhead. And I trust that the Lord will help you. Maybe you have walls today and you want the branches to go beyond that. Trust the Lord will help you with that. And that he will help you to have the testimony here, which was given by prophecy concerning Joseph, that he was a fruitful bough, that even a fruitful bough by a well whose branches went over the wall. May the Lord help us all, individuals and the congregation as well, to know the joy of our branches going over the wall because we're by the well. And the well is always reliable and always able to meet our every need.